All right, let's go back east and bring in a very good friend of the show, and that is Paul White. Paul, of course, the creator of USA Today's Baseball Weekly. Paul, how are you?
Good, Marty.
Yeah, what a week, huh, of baseball and all the trades that were made. And, you know, it's funny, and I just look at the standings of where we are today. And, Paul, if my life depended on it and I had to give you the winners of every division, I'd have trouble. And I think that's where we are. It's good.
Yeah, certainly in the National League, that's for sure. The American League is starting to feel a little more comfortable with maybe one playoff spot up for grabs, that second wild card. But the National League, I mean, it's going to come down to things like, a couple key injuries, what the schedule looks like in September, who can beat up on the bad teams. This is going to be great.
Well, let's take a look at the East. I know you're back there, and you're close to we call the Washington Nationals. Bryce Harper was going to be traded, and then I think they were just kidding and pulled it back, and all of a sudden he started hitting again. They started playing again, scoring tons of runs, and they crushed the Mets, 25-4,
right.
Something like that. And now today, in the first game of a day-nighter, they lost to the Reds 7-1. Gio got knocked around.
Yeah.
Where do you see the Nationals now? Of course, in Philly and Atlanta, as I say, Paul, and we've done this for years together, it is August the 4th. This is not May 4th or April 4th. It's August 4th, and the Philly and Atlanta teams are still there.
Yeah, they're not going away. And most of all, because they can pitch. And, they've proven that the Phillies especially have got a really good rotation. They stay in games, and they're not going to go away. And, I think the reason that the Nationals kind of kept their team together at the deadline, there was some talk of starting to break it up a little bit, but they look and say, you know what? These are two teams, basically young teams, that haven't been through this before, the two teams ahead of them. I think they feel like they can still make a run. And you play so many games in your division the last month or so of the season that you can really make up some ground if you can beat those teams head-to-head. And I think the real key, even for those teams looking for wild cards, the National League East has two bad teams. You got the Marlins and the Mets, and none of the other divisions can say that. And that's going to really help those teams, the Phillies, Braves, and Nationals, playing a lot of games against the Marlins and the Mets. If somebody can just beat those teams up down the stretch, if it doesn't get you the division, it's probably going to get you a wild card, because in the West you got one bad team, the Padres, who can be a pest. And in the Central, I mean, Cincinnati's the worst team, but who wants to play them? They can score.
Cincinnati, since Riggleman has taken over, I think they may be over 500. I could be wrong, but they could be very close to 500. And look at the Pirates. That's what I'm saying. This is interesting. It really is interesting to me. We haven't seen a race like this in a while. And I know we talk about all the wild card teams and everything else, but there are teams that can give you trouble down the stretch. And I'll tell you another thing. I'll get your opinion on this, Paul White. Jacob DeGrom, of course, pitching for the Mets, and he's the best thing they have going. Syndergaard has foot-and-mouth disease or whatever he's got, and J.A. Happ has it as well. But
I
ever heard that, can I tell you? But DeGrom, and I just had this conversation with Barry Bloom on a couple of segments ago. Can DeGrom seriously get a Cy Young in the National League and winning eight games? Can that happen? Because numbers-wise, he's the best thing they got going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the wins thing has kind of gone away in the Cy Young. If you've got all the other numbers, you can win a Cy Young. We've seen that more and more in the last decade or so. That being said, as long as Scherzer keeps going, and he'll have a ton of wins, and he on a team that's reasonably successful, even if they don't make the playoffs, it's going to be tough to beat him, probably, unless he fades down the stretch. But, I mean, DeGrom's numbers, the wins notwithstanding, are plenty good enough in a lot of years, yeah.
Boy, interesting. All right. Now, how do you personally feel about Philly and Atlanta and Washington overtaking him? How do you feel about that?
I think Washington can catch up to them, But I think all three of them are certainly in the mix for playoff spots. And it wouldn't stun me if all three made it to the playoffs. Probably not going to happen. I think it's a decent chance that two of them do. And that goes back to what I said earlier about more games against weaker teams. I haven't broken down the full schedules down the stretch, but you know they got a lot of games with the Marlins and the Mets. And, you know, with the exception of the day you face DeGrom, then, you know, it shouldn't be a big problem. And that could give them a real advantage, because in the other two divisions, you know, you've got four teams beating each other up down the stretch as opposed to three in the East, and that could be the difference in a couple of games. I think Pittsburgh is really interesting to watch. I think they got a real boost when management went out and said, hey, you guys have been hot, we're going to go for it. It's not the Pittsburgh way of doing things, and I think what I've seen from that team in the last week is there's an incredible amount of energy. I mean, I don't think Chris Archer is a number one who's going to totally turn the season around. He's not going to come in like CeCe Sabathia did with the Brewers years ago, or like Verlander last year. But I think the whole scenario there has changed. I mean, the Cubs are going to be tough to catch, but I think the Pirates are a real threat in that wild card now.
Well, we get to see him. I don't think we get Archer unless there's a day off or something. I think he'll pitch Wednesday if the Pirates are playing a three.
I mean, Taillon's still their ace anyway.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something. You know about Archer, I know the name, I know the strikeouts, I know all this here and there, but the guy doesn't win. Something always happens.
Right. Yeah, then you're right, and it's been the case. And yeah, you can say, you know, Tampa Bay, it's not the greatest situation, although I think that team's another one that's terribly underrated. I wouldn't be surprised to see them make a little noise in the American League. I don't think they catch Oakland and Seattle, but I bet they make a run at them before it's over. There's a lot of talent on that team, good young talent. But, no, you're right. And, you know, Archer's one of those classic guys. I mean, the media loves him because he's a really intelligent, thoughtful guy. You can talk to him about a lot of things, and teammates love him. Great personality. He made a lot of fans in Pittsburgh the last couple of days, getting out and shaking hands with the fans during batting practice, and that's the kind of guy he is. So everybody loves him, and I think he gets a little bit more credit. But you're right, he hasn't pitched up to the level, really, of his stuff. I heard a couple GMs describe him as a guy with number one stuff, but number three results.
Yeah, and number five, well, I don't want to say attitude, but, you know, who knows what his attitude is when he gets on the mound, and that, I'd have to see more of him. I was hoping to see him pitch this week, but he pitched Friday.
He outthinks himself sometimes.
That's what I think. I think he just doesn't go out and pitch to his stuff. Paul White with us. I think my personal opinion is you and I have done this just about every month during the season. I love to evolve this season with you. Eovaldi, by the way, shutout today against the Yankees. I don't know if he's still in there, but he's gone. Red Sox 4-0 over the Yankees, middle of the eighth.
Eovaldi, the
pitch there. If the Phillies win the East, I think the Phillies can win the pennant. I just think they finally have the pitching that can do it, and their bullpen has been outstanding.
Yeah, it has been. It'd be interesting to see how some of those guys, again, there are a lot of guys out there, with the exception of like Tommy Hunter, that don't have a lot of experience in big games and stuff. But as you know now, when you get to the postseason, the best rotation is probably going to win. And, you know, the best first three starters, really. And as long as you've got three starters and four solid relievers, you're probably winning. And that's kind of where they are right now. I'm a little skeptical about the bullpen, but the numbers are there. I can't argue with them. I think there are better bullpens around the National League among the contenders. But, you know, their starting pitching is going to be really tough. The matchups, I think, in the postseason are going to be huge. The first place teams are all separated by a couple of games at this point, so we don't know where the advantages are going to be. But I think what you might want to do is, assuming the Cubs get in, if they do, you don't want to play them right away if you're a team that's new to this. And maybe even so with the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers have a different level of confidence than they probably had a year ago this time, just by getting to the World Series last year. I think you want to, if you're the Phillies, you want to be playing one of those other teams. You want to be playing the Rockies or the Pirates or the Braves or somebody that's new like you and get win around, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, we belong. We can do this.
I understand, but if they win the East and they get Aaron Nola for two starts in the five-game series, I don't care who they play.
I know. And I'll tell you what, some of these other guys are awful good. Pavetta, and obviously Arrieta's solid.
Yeah,
not what he was a few years ago. Yeah, I mean, yeah, their pitching's great.
I'm telling you, if they win the division, and I have to fool around with him in a wild card game, and you give me that pitching staff in a five-game series, I'm telling you, Paul, I'm going to take my chances.
But the other thing, too, is, you know, with everything so tight and you don't want to get in that wild card game, some teams might find themselves using their aces on Saturday and Sunday at the end of the season.
I would.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah, I would.
Well, you can use an ace like on Saturday, and you got them back pretty quickly in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the National League precedes the American League this year in the play-in game. One is Tuesday, one is Wednesday. And I think
I was actually looking at that the other night.
Yeah, I think the National League, it's usually American League first, but they flipped it this year.
Yeah, I think they try to alternate if they can.
So Tuesday, Wednesday, I think that's where it is. Boy, interesting. Well, looking at, I guess, one other thing we'll talk about. You know, you and I could talk forever here. The Brewers coming back last night on the Rockies. The Cardinals coming back on the Rockies a couple of days ago. Boy, the Rockies spent a lot of money on that bullpen now. They're still very much a team to deal with. Their starting pitching has been very good, but the curse of Greg Holland has now cursed Wade Davis.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's cursed Jake McGee with him. So how about that bullpen? How about that?
Well, yeah, and what's crucial now is, you know, and players and managers will tell you, there is nothing that guts a team more than losing those kinds of games. You'd rather lose 25-4 than to have a couple in a week where your closer gives it up, a game that you battled out, you grinded out, you got the lead, you feel like you've got it won, and bam, there it goes. And then it starts to happen again, and it becomes that, you know, they come in with a cloud over their head. Everybody's waiting for it. The first guy gets on, and it's like, oh, not again. And it's really tough to shake that loose, to get out of there. And the problem is now, that can mess up a team for a week or so. And maybe that's all it takes to knock a team like this out of the race.
Well, it's going to be something. It is going to be something, I'll tell you that. The bullpen, it's a game of bullpens. There's no doubt in my mind. And teams move bullpen guys around, bullpen pieces move around. Brandon Morrow's on the DL. Jansen has not been great. We'll see where the bullpens have not been invincible.
I mean, you know, Milwaukee right now is probably as good as anybody.
Yeah, they're not. You know, look at the Cub bullpen. You never know who's going to end up in that thing. And then the Dodgers, to get the ball to Jansen, you don't know what's going to happen there.
Right, and Milwaukee, you don't know what you're getting out of the starters. And those guys are inconsistent. Some of them look great certain times. But if you can get to the sixth, seventh inning and start lining up Hader and Jeffress and Knable, you know, all this, and Burns, the young kid they brought up, and they're great, but there are too many games they don't get there.
Well, you can do it once or twice, but you can't do it every night in the playoffs. And somebody's got to give you a game, and that's where the Brewers have real trouble.
Right,
they don't have anybody who can really give you that will give you a game.
You need a solid seven once every two or three days.
Yeah, you do. You just can't. Yeah. You can't run those. You run them out there every day, and it's be what Houston did, and he ran that bullpen into the ground, and Morton saved them, and McCullers saved them.
And they're starting to see some of the effects of that this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, very very interesting. What is what's going on? Looking at a couple of the issues of baseball, I just want to get your opinion on the tweeters and what's gone on with that. You had it with Trey Turner there. We've seen it with Hader, of course, and now Sean Newcomb, the young kid in Atlanta. What's your take on all this, and what is baseball supposed to do? What's your opinion on it?
Well, the first thing I'd do is if I was a team, I'd go back in the account of every guy on my team and look back from the day that account was created, and let's find out if there's anything else lurking out there. Because you know somebody else is doing it, is out there looking. So you might as well find out and get it up front. Look, you know, there's a certain level of a pass guys can have for doing stupid things in high school. We've all done stupid things in high school. We just didn't have this this method when we were there. But the point is something about where they were, who they were, who they were surrounded with, something about that led them to think it was okay to tweet those things out. Okay, very, very possible and very likely that a lot of these guys have changed over time and have learned more and realized, hey, you know, you can't be saying that. And let's be honest. There are a lot of people out there sitting in the crowd at every ballpark every night who think those same things, are just smart enough not to tweet it out or say it in public, but, you know, they've got some horrible thoughts in their head. Baseball's got to be up front and put these guys through the social awareness, the sensitivity training. It can't hurt. There was something there, even if they've kind of learned along the way that it's not a smart thing to do. It's not a human thing to do. Make sure these guys get it. You can never make people change their thoughts, but make sure they understand, and make sure they understand the recourse of their actions. I don't think we should be suspending people unless it's current things and they're just, you know, it's just out and out hate messages. But there was something in their background somewhere, some influence that made them think this was okay. And you got to make sure they understand that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. That is exactly what I felt. Someone suggested that as part of the sensitivity training, they should bring in people who were harmed or things that they said about and look them right in the eye and let them and say,
yeah,
this was harmful. And so my point is, and I think you said it really well, baseball has got to be more aggressive finding out why and who they are when they did it. I agree. That's very good. That's I'm with you on that one. Very good.
Because we don't understand. I couldn't begin to tell you who the influences were on Josh Hader when he was 17 years old and what he was surrounded by. Maybe he was surrounded by some of the most wonderful people in the world and he just did something dumb. I don't know that. And I think baseball's got to be on top of that.
Boy, very good. Paul, always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll talk more here. There's a lot going on in baseball.
for another 8 weeks.
Yeah, unbelievable. August baseball, there's nothing like it. All right, have a good afternoon.
You too, Marty.
All right, thanks. Paul White. Boy, August baseball, honestly, nothing like it.